Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Ben.
Good morning.
Hello, Ben. How are you today?
I'm well.
Good to see you, man.
Same here.
I am here with Carmella. Hello, Carmella.
Hello, everyone.
It is wonderful to see you today.
Thank you.
Is that wonderful to see me?
What did I say you?
How did she get a wonderful? I just got a good.
Well, I like her better.
It's fair.
I'll be over here.
I believe in honesty.
It's fine.
I'm also here today with Wesley Wells. Hello, Wesley.
Good morning, y'all.
How are you today?
I am fantastic.
You know, being over there in the great state of Arkansas, I expected you to have a heavier southern accent.
I am from the northwest portion of Arkansas, which is closer to a Midwest accent, but it's really no accent at all.
How about that? You learn something new every day.
I mean, I've lived in the South my whole life. I don't really have that much of a Southern accent.
Our friends in England would disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They say thick American accents.
A lot of people perceive me as having a Southern accent, but I think that's more because I talk slow.
I like slow talkers. Wow. We're going to get along good. And we are also here today with Aria Gerson. Hello, Aria.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
Now, I'm excited to have you on, Aria. You, my friend, are a former Jeopardy contestant, but it wasn't the standard game of Jeopardy. You were, was it the teen tournament you were on?
It was Kids Week, actually.
So tell me about that.
So I was 11 when I taped the show, and we found out my mom was just like looking for, you know, stuff for me to do. And I was that kind of person who always would like read trivia books and stuff for fun. And so we found out about the Kids Week online test. And it was on the same night as my school spelling bee. You're getting the sense of what kind of person I am now. I almost missed the online test because of my school spelling bee. But it turned out that it was just at the right time that I could do both. It was just an amazing experience because I met, you know, a whole bunch of other kids who were similarly nerdy to me. And I still keep in touch with a couple of them, which is really cool, even though it was almost 6 years ago now. So, you know, when I went on, I later read a bunch of tweets that people had tweeted about me. Some of them were really funny. I got told I looked like Gilbert Gottfried. So I like to make fun of that now. Like to reference that. It's got some great jokes. I got some great jokes from it. So
that's not exactly a compliment.
I know. I don't know if I would be happy about that one.
Well, it's just so funny that, like, I read that and I just started laughing. And I was like, I know this is supposed to be mean, but I just think it's really funny.
Hey, and don't knock spelling bees. Spelling bee champions. So I'm with you.
Are you a spelling champion?
Yeah, spelling bee
champion.
What's
the hardest word you know how to spell?
I don't know. Give me one.
Pneumococcal.
The hell is that? Pneumococcal.
I'm going to bet you can't spell it.
So pneumococcal, PNEUMACCHOICAL.
Unfortunately, I have no idea how to spell it.
So suck.
There is literally no chance I can tell you whether that's right or wrong.
I think you're right up until the second C.
PNEUMOCOCCAL. I could
that's
be wrong.
That's how I would have spelled it.
I think that's how you spell it.
We're going to have to do a spell check on this episode.
We are.
It's going to be funny to see if either of those were right. Now, Wesley, we talked a little bit about Aria. You, my friend, are about to graduate from the great school of what?
The University of Arkansas.
And what did you study at the University of Arkansas?
I studied math with a focus in statistics, and I also got a minor in economics.
Oh my God, that sounds like he's a smart guy. He just studied math, economics, and statistics.
Yep, Ben, my kind of guy.
Yeah, it's kind of like our guy Ben over here. So I know that you've been doing the job search recently. What kind of jobs were you looking at?
I was mainly looking at data analysis jobs. So it was kind of weird looking because I was like, I know my qualifications. I know that I can do these types of jobs, but now I have to sell myself to the company and make them believe that I could do it as well.
You know, it's a totally different experience when you get out there and it's not really necessarily about how good you are, but it's about how good you can help people to believe you are.
That never right. gets easier, at least not for me.
It got easier for me.
It never got easier for me.
It will.
Well, you're nowhere near as old as Jonathan.
Give it time. It will.
Jonathan's not that much older than me.
He's older than both of them combined.
That is not true.
You're close.
Holy crap. How old are you, Wesley?
I am 22.
How old are you, Aria?
17. And
I'm older! No!
By 1 year.
Ben, why did you do that to me?
Did you seriously question a master black belt on a math question?
Why did you do that to me, man?
No, you're not hurt. Stop playing.
I'm older than both of them.
Combined.
Oh, my God.
So that means Ben is as well.
That's not true. Ben's only like 37.
I'm 38. I'm 38. Not quite.
He acts older than you. He's more mature.
It's his voice. And no, he's not.
That's right. You and Corey are the same age.
Yeah. We're not going there.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. It is time to warm it up, Chris.
What up, Chris?
I'm about to.
What up, Chris?
That's what I was born into.
And today, I have the warm it up, Chris question, and it came from Kale Thompson. Thank you, Kale.
Thanks, Kale.
I have a list of all of the names that were mentioned in the song, We Didn't Start the Fire.
And
and Aria looks excited about this. Ben has already started writing names down.
I'm singing.
No, I just wrote the title of the song.
And Carmella is dancing around to herself. So I've got a list of all the names mentioned, and We Didn't Start the Fire. And we're going to take turns to see how many of these names you can get off of this list. We will start with Carmella.
So we'll go with the first name, Harry Truman.
Harry Truman is correct. Wesley.
Since he was mentioned twice, I'll say Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon is correct. Aria.
Is this just all the people or is it just everything?
It would be all of the people, which can include fictional people as well.
Okay. Okay. So Doris Day.
Doris Day is number two on that list. Ben?
I don't have any freaking idea, but I'm going to guess Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe is correct.
Yes.
Good job, Ben.
I got one.
All right, Carmella, yeah, you're off the schneid. That's a shame.
Joe DiMaggio.
Yes, Joe DiMaggio. Wesley.
Johnny Ray.
Johnny Ray, the third person mentioned. We are over to Aria.
Walter Winchell.
Walt, do you know who Walter Winchell is?
Sort of.
It's like he's in the song. That's what I know. Good enough. You are correct. Ben.
Wild guess, Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley is correct.
What?
Look at you.
Yes.
Oh, you're good at this. Carmella.
Joe McCarthy.
Joe McCarthy is correct. Somebody already said, I guess I can't say that because if somebody didn't, then I just stole it. Never mind. I don't have a check. I'm looking at a picture of the names. I can't check them off of the list. So we're going by my memory as to whether or not
you said
them. Well,
the song is set up by decades. So it's from like 1950 to 1980. So
I know, but I've already forgotten whether or not one of the names was said. So, all right, we're over to Wesley.
I'm probably about to miss one because the first verse is the only one that I know by heart.
Uh-oh.
And I know it says England's got a new queen. So I'm going to say that's a reference to Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth is incorrect. She was not mentioned in the song. But if you can figure out the rhyme to that, you would have gotten one, because the next line is a rhyme to that. Aria, do you have the next one?
Well, I do know the one that he's referring to, but I'm going to be nice and go with Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett is correct. Ben, over to you.
So, you know, I've been guessing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
May not be the right era, but let's go with Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong is not on the list. All right, Carmella.
JFK.
JFK, blown away.
What else do I have to say?
Oh, that's right.
JFK is on the list. Wesley, over to you.
I had thought about JFK, but I couldn't remember where he was mentioned, so I didn't say him. I don't think Eisenhower was mentioned, but I don't have anything better.
Eisenhower, let me run through the list here. Eisenhower is not on the list.
Good job trying to guess a president from that era, though. That's not a bad idea. Aria, over to you.
John Glenn.
John Glenn is on the list. Well done. Aria's got this song memorized. Ben, over to you.
I know it pretty well, yeah.
So I went with a different John, John Lennon.
John Lennon? No.
Oh.
I thought for a second he was just, it sounds like a name that would have been on there, but he's not. So you're wrong.
Thanks.
Just to call that out.
Thanks,
Carmela, over to you.
Oh, God, now I'm stuck.
Oh, boy. Still plenty of names.
Because I'm remembering places now, because there's like North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe, which we've already mentioned. I know there's a spot where you go Set Diana, goodbye. Is Set Diana a person?
Set Diana?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay, then I got nothing.
Nope. All right. Wesley, over to you.
Isn't it Santa Anna?
No, it's not Santa Anna either.
I will continue my strategy of guessing presidents and say LBJ.
LBJ. Not on the list.
Didn't think so.
Aria, your turn.
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly. Where is he? I feel like he should be on. There he is. Yes, Buddy Holly is correct. I'm like, I know Buddy Holly's on this list. Where is he? I can't find him.
I'm missing the line. I can't hear.
All right, Ben?
I'm going to go with MLK Jr.
MLK Jr. not on the list.
Oh, that's a horrible song.
All right, we're going to go one more time around. Carmela, your last shot.
Malcolm X?
Malcolm X is on the list. Is it still horrible, Ben? Is it still horrible?
This is time for my frustrated introvert side.
All right, Wes.
Okay, people from that era.
The era, by the way, the era runs from the 50s all the way up into the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts with Harry Truman, so I am drawing a blank, so I guess I'll just tap out.
Oh my goodness, okay. Aria, your last go.
Okay, Khrushchev.
Khrushchev. He's not on the list that I have in front of me. Can you think of the verse that he's in?
Yeah, it's like, it goes like, Alabama Khrushchev, Princess Grace, Peyton Place, Trouble in the Suez. Something like that.
We'll have to double check that one.
But she did say Princess Grace as well, so.
Oh, well, you know what? Let me see if Princess Grace is on here, because if not, maybe he skipped a verse. I don't see Princess Grace either.
Oh, I know Princess Grace is
yes,
in there.
I agree. I think Kale might have skipped a verse.
Santa Anna is in there, too.
I'm pretty sure Santa Anna's not, because Santa Anna was the general in the Mexican army at the Alamo.
It's not Santa Anna. It's Santa Anna. He was a writer of some sort.
Oh, well, that's different.
I don't remember what he wrote. It's a real person. I looked it up. I mean, I looked it up before.
Well, I'm pulling the lyrics up now to see... What verse is missing here? Because it does feel like there might be a verse missing here. You're right. There is a Santa Yana on there. Oh, actually, you know what? Kale, you're hurting my feelings here. There are definitely multiple names that are not on the list that we had provided. So, going to have to use the actual lyrics to give you all the names because they weren't on the list I was provided. All right, Ben, your last guess.
Was rounded out with Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Correct.
Yes.
I think maybe Kale gave me first and last names or something like that.
Oh,
and
yeah. I think that might be.
Oh, that's what it is. I messed up when I asked the question. He said, here's the list of people who are mentioned by the full name.
Oh.
There are a ton of just last names mentioned. That's what the difference was. So this whole travesty of a Warm It Up Chris question is not Kale's fault.
But you wanted to do Warm It Up Chris.
This is my fault. All right, here's the list of people whose full name is mentioned in the song. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Johnny Ray, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Marilyn Monroe, Liberace, who's a one-name person.
He has a mononym.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice. I like that. Joseph Stalin, Roy Kahn, Juan Perón, James Dean, Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Mickey Mantle, Chow Yun Lai, Charles de Gaulle, Buddy Holly, Syngman Rhee, Chubby Checker, John Glenn, Malcolm X, Ho Chi Minh,
Sally Ride, and Bernie Getz.
How do you miss Peter Pan?
That's my favorite one. Elvis Presley, Peter Pan. No, what is it? Elvis no, Presley, it's, Disneyland.
It's Peter yeah. Pan, and then it goes Elvis Presley, Man. Disneyland.
It's Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland.
There you go. See, you're better at this than I am.
So, based on what just happened, I think that Chris Cross used to come out with a new song called Screw It Up, Jonathan. He's about to. Screw It Up, Jonathan. That's what he was born to do.
What? Damn, Ben?
Damn.
Man. Hammer, don't hurt him. All right. Well, that's my fault, guys. But amusement was had by all anyway. All right. So here's today's game.
You made me sing.
I like that. That's a good start. It is Aria and Wesley teamed up together, and they're going up against Jonathan and Ben in a tag team matchup here. Carmella is going to be hosting, and it is time to play the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points, and when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys, let's get started. All right, Carmella, take us away.
All right, round one, we're going to start off with television.
All right.
In what popular children's show will you find the city of Angel Grove?
Can you repeat the question, please, Carmella?
In what popular children's show would you find the city of Angel Grove?
There's no reference to whether it's a current show or one that's not on air anymore. I don't glean that from the way the question is worded.
Okay. I would
it's
assume
very clever means, of Carmella to word the question.
I would assume it means current based on the way I'm hearing the question because it's popular, which is a present tense.
I do believe this show has recently done another run. I know it's gained a lot of popularity recently.
Yeah. I've heard of Gravity Falls. But that doesn't sound the same as Angel Grove to me.
No.
All right, we're going to lock in this terrible answer that I wrote down on Ben's page
that okay. I can barely read.
So I'll say this. I watched a lot of PBS Kids when I was growing up, and I do not remember there being an Angel Grove on PBS Kids. So I'm thinking that it's probably not a PBS Kids show. I also watched a lot of Disney Channel, and I don't remember an Angel Grove on there either. Yeah, like, I mean, should we just say Gravity Falls because we don't have anything else?
I will go with whatever you want to go with.
Okay, let's just say Gravity Falls.
Okay.
I'm going to feel better if they miss it too because they're much closer to kids' shows age than I am.
Some of them are still kids. So
we just looked for something. I felt like it was going to be current based on the phrasing of the question. And the looking for something that you might throw out there that would be challenging for someone like me to answer or somebody like Ben to answer, because I think that you do that sometimes. And so we guessed My Little Pony.
Hmm.
Angel Grove was the setting for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh, it wasn't even a cartoon.
No.
It's a popular kids show.
It is a kids show.
Yeah. I don't know nothing about no Power Rangers. So
I hate the Power Rangers.
Yeah. Aww,
I never watched Power Rangers growing up.
Me neither.
all of you disappointed it.
There was a parody done of the Power Rangers about 10 years ago. Really hilarious. Definitely not safe for work.
There's a movie coming out.
Yes.
A new Power Rangers movie coming out.
Not interested in the least.
It looks better than the TV show did.
They're a knockoff of Ultron. I've always seen them as a knockoff of Ultron.
All right. So we both missed that one.
So, you know, I was told there would be no math.
Yes. Finally a math question.
This early?
We got a math major on the other side, so it's not really an advantage for me.
One half base times height will provide you the area of what polygon?
Locked in.
I know it. Locked in.
Yep.
What just happened?
I just gave it to two math majors.
Okay, well, we'll let Wes, why don't you and Aria talk about that first?
It's a triangle, right?
Yeah, it's a triangle. 100% sure.
I wrote down triangle.
He just drew a triangle.
I drew a triangle.
That's all he did. All right, everybody says triangle.
It is a triangle.
Yes. Ben, I'm glad you were here, man. If nothing else happens today,
I told you. I'm good for three questions.
I'm team Ben right now.
I appreciate that.
All right.
And this question is brought to you by listener Russ Wilson. Thank you, Russ.
All right. Thank you, Russ. Unless I get it wrong, in that case, I'm not really a big fan.
And your category is slogans. What was the slogan of the campaign that was launched with a famous 1993 commercial that made the American public never forget that Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton?
Oh, I know this.
I've got this, Ben.
We're locked in.
What do you think, Arya?
It's got milk. I've seen this commercial.
That's what I was thinking.
He can't talk. He's like, Aaron Burr!
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Something like that. So it's got milk. I'm pretty sure.
I agree.
I'm actually a little impressed that you guys, you know, get a reference from before you were born. It's pretty impressive.
Well, we both love Hamilton.
Yeah, we love Hamilton, so.
This has become a Hamilton question.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
I believe this question is also episode one of the show, but we'll let Carmella get us answer.
And episode two, because Chris was like in a crazy Aaron Burr stage before Hamilton was popular. He brought him up in three shows in a row. Not kidding.
What was your answer, guys?
Got milk.
I love this question for a few reasons. One, because so many people in this show are a fan of Hamilton. And also because Chris repeatedly says, Ellen Burr, all the time.
Yes.
It's got milk.
That was the guy compared to a smaller, uglier Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
The guy from the Got Milk commercial. Because they look like brothers, except from the movie Twins, where one of them got the good genes and the other one didn't. It is 20-20 after the first round.
All right. So getting into round two, first category is history. Who was the only woman to be awarded a Nobel Prize more than once?
All right. Guys. Ben and I have had our little discussion, and we have locked in our answer.
Okay, Aria. So when I was thinking about this, when I first heard woman and Nobel Prize, my gut that I had to knock out was Malala Yousafzai, because she won a couple years ago and won once. Right. So after I got that out of my head, my thought was Marie Curie, because she didn't say Nobel Prize in what?
Yeah, that was one of the names that I wrote down.
What else do you have?
I was trying to think of female Nobel winners, and I decided I had Marie Curie. Toni Morrison, I think, won the Nobel Prize, and I couldn't remember.
She won the Pulitzer, I know.
Oh, she did? Maybe she didn't win a Nobel Prize? I thought she did. I'm not sure if Mother Teresa won a Nobel Peace Prize, but I feel like she could have won it more than once, but I think Marie Curie is the best answer that
I agree.
We know for sure she won it.
I agree. And I mean, I could definitely see them giving a Nobel Peace Prize to Mother Teresa, but I couldn't necessarily see them giving it more than once for the same work. Even though it was great work, I don't think they would have given it to her more than once. I think she would have had to have done something different to do to win it again. So do you want to lock in with Marie Curie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So we had a really similar discussion. The only Nobel winners we could name were Toni Morrison for Beloved, Pearl Buck for The Good Earth, Mother Teresa for a Peace Prize. We knew the young girl, but we didn't know her name, the recent one. And then Curie for science. And we were trying to figure out which one of those, is there a chance that it was for two different disciplines? Would it be somebody who was awarded twice in the same discipline? And in the end, because we know that Marie Curie had done multiple unique discoveries like polonium and radium, and then her work with radioactivity, we decided that was the safest bet. So we went with Marie Curie.
All right. Not only was she the first woman to win a Nobel Prize, she is still the only woman to win more than once. Marie Curie.
Yeah.
She won in 1903 for physics and 1911 for chemistry.
Wow. Wow, she won for physics. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the physics one was shared. She shared it with her husband and another person, but the one in 1911, she won on her own. Category is music. Name the song with these lyrics. And I wish you joy and happiness, but above all this, I wish you love.
Sounds like a biblical thing. So, we're locked in. Ben and I telepathically communicated. Instantly, we knew it. We're locked in.
And I'm going to sing this after they give their answer.
Oh, God. Oh, God,
really? Because I was going to do that. Oh, we can do it together.
I'll do it.
We'll do it together.
So do you have any idea?
I don't know. Do you know?
No. So that would lead me to believe it's not current.
Right. It's not current. I'm pretty sure
because
it's
you would know it.
As I would know it if it was current. I mean, it sounds kind of like something the Beatles would sing, but
yeah. I don't think it's this, but my first instinct was My Wish by Rascal Flatts. I don't think it's that, though.
Rascal Flatts is good singing.
Anyway, I don't know. I just know, like, the Beatles had a lot of songs about love and peace and stuff. Yeah. That's why I thought of them, but I don't know which song it would be. But that's just, like, the thing that came to my mind when I heard those lyrics was the Beatles.
Okay, so we're going to play the game Guess an Arbitrary Beatles Song.
Okay. Oh, wait, I do know this. It's not Blackbird, because we sang that in choir, and it's not that.
And I know it's not Penny Lane or Hey Jude.
Okay.
Can I sell you Eleanor Rigby?
Okay, so what are you thinking? Yeah, pick one.
Well, there's All You Need Is Love, which...
That sounds good.
Okay, let's just say that.
All right, they have All You Need Is Love.
Executive decision. That sounds good.
Yeah, you kids are, you're at a slight disadvantage.
So this was a massive hit. This was one of the biggest hits of the 90s. Yeah. One of the biggest, if not the biggest.
This song was huge.
Yeah. So who's singing? How are you going to do it?
Do you want me to sing these lyrics and you sing the chorus? Or you want us to sing both together?
The chorus, huh?
You didn't know he was going for the chorus?
Lower.
Yeah, well, that's true. I can do the chorus.
All right. So the lyrics go... And I wish you joy and happiness, but above all this, I wish you love.
And I will always love you.
Song. Same. I don't know the other words.
Oh, that was the biggest hit of the 90s.
Yes, Bodyguard soundtrack.
Wow, you sounded good, Ben. You knew that. I mean, like, you were on it, buddy.
Oh, thanks, man. I had my coffee.
How about that?
So only Ben gets the compliment there?
No, I knew. So, I know you can sing. Ben surprised me.
You didn't know Ben could sing?
Not like that. That was good.
Oh, I knew that.
Because typically when I'm singing, I'm straining because the pitch is so high.
But yeah.
It's Whitney, man.
I can't hit Whitney. I'm an alto at best.
So you guys are completely aware of the song.
Yes.
Yeah.
How long into Ben singing before you recognized it?
When
I didn't
he
get
hit
it until
note.
Carmella started singing.
Really?
He hit the note right before the chorus, and like I could tell it was about to lead into the chorus. I'm like, oh my God,
the Bodyguard soundtrack is like in the top 5 best-selling albums of all time.
It's a very good album.
When you were saying the lyrics at the beginning, you said, but above all this, and immediately I'm like, but above all this. It's like that little set of notes is locked in.
Who did the song originally?
Dolly Parton.
All right, your last category in the round is in movies. Name the person in all 3 movies. Toy Story, The Princess Bride, and Clueless.
Whoa. Do you remember the movie Clueless at all?
I remember it. I'm not very good with names.
Let's come over here, away from the mics, and talk a little bit.
So you guys can't see this, but they're just going about like, do you know who this person is? No. Do you know who this person is? Uh-uh.
It's like that scene from, have you guys seen the movie UHF? Weird Al Yankovic movie?
No.
There's a scene in it where there's a blind guy and a hobo sitting on a bench, and the blind guy has a Rubik's cube, and he keeps like messing with the Rubik's cube, and he's like, is this it? And the hobo's like, nope. And then he'll turn it again. Is this it? Nope. So that's exactly what we're doing right now.
I'm trying to find a connection point because Ben's not familiar with the characters from The Princess Bride. So I'm naming these people and trying to find a connection point to connect his knowledge to my knowledge so that we can mm-hmm. try and figure it out.
Try to find some common ground.
And we are struggling. Okay, so Ben and I just spent a good 5 to 8, maybe even 10 minutes. And it was truly back and forth of, do you know this is? No. Do you know this is? No. Do you know this is? No. And finally, we just stopped doing that and started aiming for people that could have been in both Toy Story and A Princess Bride, because I'm most familiar with those. And finally picked a person whose name I'm not even 100% sure of, but I'm going for it, and I locked it in.
Okay. So you guys can talk.
Okay, Aria. So, sometimes I play solo at pub trivia. Uh-huh. I go with my team one night, and I solo another night. Uh-huh. A lot of the time when I play solo, since pop culture is very weak, I mm-hmm. play a little game called Guess the One Person from This Set That You Know, or the One Item from This Set That You uh-huh. Know, and hope that it's right. Mm-hmm. And so here, I actually have two items from the set to choose from. Mm-hmm. The set being actors I know were in at least one of these three movies.
Uh-huh.
Both are in Toy Story.
Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
Tim Allen is one. And the other one I know because he was in all the Pixar movies, and that is John Ratzenberger.
I have him written down, too. So I've seen, like, some of these movies, but it's been, like, really long time.
I've definitely seen Princess Bride. I don't know any actors.
I've seen Princess Bride, but it's been, like, a really long time since I've seen it. The only one I know that was in that was Andre the Giant. And
oh, yes, yes.
It wouldn't be him, I don't think. I don't think he'd be in the list. So, yeah, it's Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, and John Ratzenberger are the three people that I know for sure were in Toy Story. And I can't think of anybody else because I've seen that movie a bunch of times, but I don't know who the actors were. And
I know Tom Hanks wasn't in Princess Bride.
So Clueless was like a teen comedy, but I'm thinking that it's not going to be like a teenager because the Princess Bride especially like didn't really have any people that age in it. So I'm thinking right. It would be someone who played an adult in Clueless.
I think of the ones we listed, the best guess would be John Ratzenberger.
Yeah, me too, because I don't think Tom Hanks or Tim Allen is in The Princess Bride.
No, they're not. I've definitely seen that one, and I can't name any actors or actresses, but I can tell you that they were not in there.
Yeah, I agree. So let's just say John Ratzenberger.
Sounds good.
All right, they said John Ratzenberger. So the one of these I knew the best is The Princess Bride. We had the same logic about Clueless. It's probably one of the older people because there were no young people in The Princess Bride. And so I'm like, okay, do you know if Cary Elwes was in Clueless? And he's like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, Robin Hood Men in Tights. Like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, damn it! It's like, do you know Christopher Guest? No. Do you know Chris Sarandon? No. Do you know Mandy Patinkin? No. I'm like, oh my God! What are we going to do? It's like, even if you remember, because he remembers the face of the dad in Clueless, but he can't give me the name. So finally, I just said, forget it, and got down to, okay, who might have an interesting voice that was in The Princess Bride that might also be in Toy Story? And I was confident it wasn't Ratzenberger or Hanks or Allen. And there are two people in The Princess Bride who have great voices. There are Billy Crystal, and I could not think of Billy Crystal being in Toy Story. I feel like I would have known that, and I don't remember him there. And the other guy was the short little guy who'd said, "Inconceivable!" And so I spent a little while trying to think of this guy's name, and at the last minute, I think it hit me, but it might not be his name. It might be somebody completely different. He's a shorter, older, balding guy, and he could totally be like a teacher from the school in Clueless. Easily could have played that kind of role. I named Wallace Shawn, and I'm just hoping that's this guy's name, and I'm hoping it's right.
You know, every time someone says inconceivable, all I can think is like, you keep saying this word, but I don't think it means what you think it means.
Exactly. The other person, Mandy Patinkin was the other person that I thought it could be.
I do love that guy.
I've seen so many people have those t-shirts that says, hello, my name is. And then Inigo Montoya. Inigo Montoya, you killed my father. Prepare to die.
So there are a ton of voices in Toy Story.
Yes.
Like exactly. A lot.
And I can't even name them. Like, I don't know who does the dinosaur voice. I don't know who does Slinky Dog voice. I don't know any of them.
So this person did the voice of Rex in Toy Story.
The dinosaur. It's not Wallace Shawn.
He was Mr. Hall in Clueless. He was one of the teachers that Cher played matchmaker for. And he was Vizzini in The Princess Bride. It is Wallace Shawn.
It was Wallace Shawn! Oh, my God!
Woo! Nice.
Wow. You said Vizzini. You said Vizzini.
I don't think I even knew that name before just now.
You said Vizzini. I'm like, wait, who's Vizzini?
It's like, it's the Sicilian.
Yep, Generation X is awesome.
So hard.
I thought everybody knew who Wallace Shawn was.
I could barely remember his name when I wanted
really?
To. Yes. Oh, boy.
And I thought putting the Princess Bride in that set would have made it really easy.
That's the only way I got it. I didn't know that was Rex.
Yeah.
It sounds like a totally different voice.
No, he sounds just like Wallace Shawn. When he starts screaming, you hear Vizzini.
Wow. Okay, well, after the second round, Ben, we swept that.
It's awesome.
All right, it is 50 to 30 after two rounds.
Okay, Aria, we got this.
Wait for another math question.
Ben's like, I dare you. Yeah,
please ask more math questions.
So your first category in round three is brought to you by Andrew Brown. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
And it's in sports.
Sports.
Sweet.
What sport utilizes the following terms? Lettuce, Fogo, and Spoon.
Still sweet, Wesley?
Nope.
Nope.
Pretty sure they don't play this in Arkansas.
So is this a sport of post relations sleeping spoon? It's the only spoon I know.
Sleeping.
Why do you hate us, Carmella?
I don't hate you. I love Andrew. And I wanted to use one of his questions.
All right. Fogo.
And I never want you to hear you guys complain about my sports questions again.
You think this is going to lead us to not complain about your sports questions?
I didn't write this one.
Mm-hmm. You chose it.
I thought it was a great question.
Sports question. I choose you. All right, Ben. So I know a lot about sports. I know a lot of freaking sports. These don't register at all.
No. All right. We're locking in with a wild guess.
So I can tell you some random thoughts I had if you want.
Please.
She's like, butterflies are pretty.
Fogo, as all capitalized, makes me think that it's an acronym.
Yes, and I was thinking that as well.
It made me think of FOMO, which is fear of missing out.
That's what was going through my mind the whole time.
So Fogo, like the thing I wrote down was fear of getting out, which I don't know like what that would be. Like,
it's called claustrophobia.
That's what I wrote down. So the other thing is that spoon, it made me think of like lacrosse, because when you have
lacrosse
where you have the ball in it and it's like scooping and you like throw it like overhand to the that made me think of a spoon. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what a lettuce would be, but that was like one of the sports I wrote down. Yeah. So
I did not lacrosse was the only sport I came up with. Was the only sport I thought about. I don't think it's an Olympic sport, because I think that either you or me would have watched some of that during the Olympics.
Yeah.
And on your fear of getting out, the only sport I can think of besides baseball would be cricket.
Yeah.
And
I wrote that down, but
I'm a big cricket fan, and it's not cricket.
It's not cricket. Okay. So probably not fear of getting out, but you want to say lacrosse?
That's what I'm thinking. Lacrosse. Okay,
let's say lacrosse.
It is scary how similar that was.
Yep.
I had the same fear of getting out acronym going through my head. I had the same idea about baseball versus cricket, meaning in the out sense, and neither of those made any sense to me. And your first thought was, hey, the lacrosse stick has a spoon on the end of it. Why don't we go with that?
Yep.
And so we went with lacrosse.
All right. So lettuce is the term that they use for long hair coming out of the back of the helmet. Fogo is face off, get off. It's a specialty position where they will come in, they'll sub in, they'll do the face off, and then they'll sub out immediately. And spoon is the name of the stick thing, the the racket thing that they use. It is lacrosse.
It is lacrosse.
Wow. Yes.
What's amazing is even as you're describing it, I still couldn't figure out if it was right or not. Like, you got through two of them, and I'm like
rugby?
Is it ice hockey?
Man. I have friends who play lacrosse, so.
Make sure you grab them by the lettuce next time.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, your next question is in science.
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 What, Aria, where are you?
I said it.
Oh, you did?
You guys.
Oh, we must have drowned you out.
Yeah, you have that effect.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So my team has started doing that at our pub trivia night.
Nice, you're going to spread it. It's going to happen.
Oh, it's already spread.
Nice.
Bauxite is a common ore of what element? And I can spell bauxite if you need me to.
B-A-U-X-I-T-E.
B-A-U-X-I-T-E.
Okay.
I've heard of bauxite. I've seen it spelled before. I'm going to sound ignorant here because I'm ignorant, okay? But for some reason, I'm getting the sense that all ites, I-T-E's, are iron derivatives. Like even fool's gold, pyrite, I think is an iron derivative. And so I wonder if it's iron.
Was there a particular reason why you're wondering out loud where they can hear you?
Because they've already locked in.
Oh.
You confused me.
Why didn't you stop me before I started talking if you thought that I was giving away answers?
I don't have an answer for that. So the word "ite" or the suffix "ite" in chemistry typically refers to a compound in general.
Can you think of any that are not iron-based?
Well, I was thinking of heavy metals, right?
Okay.
In general. It's got to be a heavy metal. It wouldn't be something like a magnesium or... Yeah, something you would bang your head to is Carmella.
She was. She threw up the horns.
Like a potassium or magnesium. I think it would be a heavy metal. So sure. Like iron, silver, gold, that range.
Are those considered heavy metals? I thought heavy metals were things like uranium, plutonium, and those.
Those aren't metals, I don't think.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I'm not good at the elements.
I don't think those are good. They may be.
So for example, airs, oxygen. I'm not aware of any oxygen that end in ite, right?
Well, you could have like a... Can't think of any good examples right now.
You don't hear of like carbonite.
Like carbon tetra... I know there's a carbon tetrachloride.
Ide.
Which is IDE typically means that you have two elements, a compound made of two elements only. But then you also have like ite and ate. I remember ite and ate from high school chemistry. Ite typically means that it is fewer. Like you have calcium chloride.
Chloride.
No, it's like calcium hydrochloride. There are. I know that ite and ate is a thing. I just can't think of any examples right now.
I think ite is iron. Give me a better one.
All right, let's go with iron.
All right, we're going to say iron.
All right, what do you guys have?
Okay, so I am an Arkansas boy through and through, and I went to a tiny high school.
The mineral state.
And there is a town in central Arkansas called Bauxite because they get a lot of ore from there, or from that area, and it is aluminum ore.
Nice. Bauxite is the main source of the world's aluminum.
Aluminum.
So,
or aluminium.
Aluminium for our friends across the way.
Yes.
The 8 versus ite is a thing. It's with polyatomic ions. So like phosphate, for instance, right. Is when you have phosphorus and 4 oxygens. And if you take away one of the oxygens, that's phosphite.
Phosphite is PO3. So phosphate is PO4.
It's something like that. Yeah. It has to do with polyatomic ions, though. Yep. So
well, there you go.
That is.
Well, she's had high school chemistry a whole lot more recently than I have. So,
again, with the whole ageist thing.
It's not ageist if it helps. It's a benefit.
Yeah, no, I mean, it helps me out sometimes.
All right, we lost ground on that one there, Ben.
Yeah.
All right. Last category in the half is going to be in literature.
Literature.
What famous living author of horror was born Howard Allen Francis O'Brien?
Holy moly. Read the whole thing again, please.
What famous living author of horror was born Howard Allen Francis O'Brien?
This guy or girl has four last names. Just pointing that out.
So you can super trust them?
Howard, Allen, Francis, and O'Brien are all last names.
Blame their parents.
True.
Wow, this is... If it's somebody that I've heard of, then this will have been an awesome question. If it's somebody I haven't heard of, then I'm going to be sad. But we're going to go ahead and lock in.
Okay.
Aria, what do you have on your list? Because I have two names.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote down Stephen King, but I don't think it's Stephen King. So we'll just get that.
Yeah, he was one of my names, and I don't think it's him.
I also wrote down R.L. Stine. Just going to...
That was my other name.
Show my age here, but he definitely...
That was my other name.
Tons of horror books. That does sound like it's a pseudonym, although I don't know how you get that from Howard Allen Francis O'Brien, but it does sound like it's a pseudonym, so there, it has that going for it.
Yeah.
So are you going with R.L. Stine?
Do you think R.L. Stine is the best guess?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Anything else.
Then yes, we will lock in R.L. Stine.
So Ben and I wrote down a long list of names to choose from.
Okay.
Right? It had one name on it, and it was Stephen King. Literally.
Well, I had other names.
A list
names,
of one is not
books.
A list.
So Ben was like M. Night Shyamalan, Rob Zombie,
Tim Burton.
Like, those are not authors, dude. And so when it came right down to it, I'm looking at the name like, this sounds like an Irish person. Howard is kind of an Irish last name. Francis and O'Brien are definitely Irish names. So I was looking for an Irish horror writer, and I couldn't think of anything. And so we just went with Stephen King because we couldn't think of a better name for a horror writer.
So R.L. Stine's name is Richard Lawrence Stine. So it's not R.L. Stine. Stephen King, as far as I know, was born Stephen King.
I'm pretty sure he was.
But the person born Howard Allen Francis O'Brien was Anne Rice.
Really?
What?
I wrote that down and then I crossed it out because I was like,
hold up.
That would be weird.
Hold up.
Her mother named her after her father, whose name was Howard Allen.
She named her daughter Howard.
She named her daughter Howard.
That's interesting.
And they are Catholic, so they probably have Irish in their background.
I'm going to tell you straight up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a wonderful question.
Oh, thank you.
I learned something new on that one. That's an author that we are all familiar with, and I think very few people know that that's a pseudonym.
I told you, I wrote down Anne Rice, and then I was like, wait, born Howard Allen Francis O'Brien? And I was like, I don't think a man would use a woman's pseudonym, so I crossed it out. Because you hear of women that use male pseudonyms, but not the other way around. So I was like...
Wow. Okay. Well, after the third round, 60 to 50, Jonathan and Ben are in the lead, but the lead has shrunk. All right. So going into the midpoint.
All right. Your category for your midpoint question is in geography.
It's all U.S.
We'll see.
Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world and is quite obviously the tallest mountain in Asia. For 5 points each, please give me the tallest mountains on these continents. North America, South America, Africa, and Europe.
I have a quick clarification about Europe.
Sure.
Some people consider the Urals part of Europe and some part of Asia. Which one are we using for this purpose?
You said the Urals?
Yes, because there is a mountain in the Urals where if they're considered part of Europe, it's the tallest in Europe. But if it's considered part of Asia, then the answer is different.
Yeah.
I would say no, the Urals are not counted in this.
Okay. Aria, I think I have all four. So after they talk, I'll tell you what I have.
I have some written down too. I'm not sure about the Europe one, but I think I know the others. But you're probably more sure of them than I am. So.
All right. You don't even remember all of them, do you?
Yeah, I do.
I got them. Are they all circled?
Yes. All right, guys, over to you.
Okay, so North America is the mountain formerly known as Mount McKinley, but it's now known as Denali.
Yep.
South America in the Andes is Mount Aconcagua.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have.
Africa is Kilimanjaro. as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I had to include that. That's my favorite song.
He said
song.
That with emotion, too. He's like, I love this part.
And in Europe, if we counted the Urals, it would be Mount Elbrus. But not counting the Urals, it's Mont Blanc on the border of France and Italy, or Switzerland. France and Switzerland. And then she didn't ask for these, but Australia is Mount Kosciuszko, named after Thaddeus Kosciuszko, and Antarctica is Mount Vinson.
Wow. I missed a question on Jeopardy. So it asked what country Mount Kosciuszko was in, and I knew it was Australia, but I buzzed in, and for some reason when I buzzed in, I said, what is Great Britain? And it still makes me mad to this day that I said that, because I knew the answer, and I'm like, ah! So, yeah, well, I know Mount Kosciuszko is in Australia now, I guess, but...
Yeah, so our answers are Denali for North America, Aconcagua for South America, Kilimanjaro for Africa, and Mont Blanc for Europe.
You didn't have to show off and make us look bad, Wes. Jeez. Just because we don't know our mountains.
All right, so what we went with was... For Europe, we were guessing the Matterhorn, so I don't know if that's the same name or not.
I think it's the same mountain with different names, no, but I might be wrong.
So we can have...
Wes says it's not.
He's like, no.
I don't think it is.
I don't trust the competition. So for Africa, we had Mount Kilimanjaro. For North America, we had, was it Whitney?
Whitney.
Mount Whitney. And in South America, we didn't have any idea, so we went with Snowy McMountain Face.
you're taken by angle, man.
Hey, man, you got to ride the train.
So on Mount Blanc, I know that it has two different names based on which country's naming it, right? I know that, and I thought that it was the same mountain.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
The other name for Mont Blanc is Monte Bianco.
Ah.
Leslie.
Yes.
I feel very, very proud of you because you knew like the entire list of the seven summits, but at the same time, I'm also very sad for you.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
I'll tell you why.
Oh boy.
Tallest mountain in North America is Mount Denali, 20,130 feet. I'm going to use feet, so sorry for all my non-metric users, or for all my metric users. South America is Aconcagua at 22,841 feet. That's located in Argentina. Africa is Mount Kilimanjaro, 19,241 feet in Tanzania. Mount Elbrus is not in the Ural Mountains. It's in the Caucasus Mountains.
Oh.
And you are right. If we don't count the Caucasus Mountains, then Mont Blanc is the tallest point in Europe.
Yeah.
But Mount Elbrus is in the Caucasus.
Yeah, that's my mistake. Those are considered the dividing line south of the Urals.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, counting the Caucasus.
I should have asked about the Caucasus as well.
Yeah.
I thought it was in the Urals.
Because I read the whole thing, you know, where they're like, well, you know, is the Caucasus part of Europe or Asia? But it is part of Europe, and Mount Elbrus is the tallest point in Europe.
You know, I'm reviewing the peaks of South America again. I'm really surprised that Mount Snowy McMountain Face wasn't on that list.
There's not a whole lot of McMountain Faces located
it
in
was
South
renamed.
America.
It used to be named after an Argentinian president, but they changed it because they wanted to represent all of the nation.
Yep.
So they chose an Irish name.
Yeah, Scottish, actually.
To rename Aconcagua, and then you will be right if, you know, if Snowy McMountain Face wins.
I think that if we could get Britain to vote for it, they would do it.
Yeah.
What was it? Bodie McSomething for the...
McBoatface.
Something like Bodie McBoatface for the new one that was going to explore the Arctic. They did a vote and that's what won. It was awesome.
So Wes and Ari got three and you guys got one?
One. Kilimanjaro, which rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. So
you bet it does.
Darn right.
And they were absolutely right, because I have the other two continents' highest points. Mount Vinson is near the peninsula in the Antarctic, and the other Australia one, and I can't say that guy's name, is also right.
Cusco. I think of Cusco from his new school.
Cusco.
Yes. So guess what? After the midpoint, tie game. 65-65. Geography was a big winner for you guys there. All right, guys, that's the end of the first half. Before we move on to the second half, I want to talk to you a little bit about Loot Crate. This is going to be the last Loot Crate ad I run for at least a few months. So if you've been stalling, now is the time to go pick up a Loot Crate subscription. They have their normal awesome box, but I thought maybe some of you guys are probably a parent like I am, and I know a lot of your kids are probably interested in Minecraft. If you have a kid who's interested in Minecraft, head over to lootcrate.com/TWA, go to the partner crates section, and you'll find one called Mine Chest, and the Mine Chest is a Minecraft Loot Crate box. It's a $40 box. It comes once every 2 months. And remember to use TWA as a coupon code to get a discount off of your first month's box. And it is full of stuff that you can't get anywhere else when it comes to Minecraft. So if you want to do something cool as a gift for your kid, get them things that nobody else has, go over to lootcrate.com/TWA, partner crates, and check out the Mine Chest box, which is for Minecraft. All right, guys, let's get the second half of this game started. Going into round four.
Your first category is in music. How many instruments are in the standard modern violin family?
The violin family. I didn't know they had a family. Who was the mom and who was the dad?
It's a modern family.
We've used really incorrect logic to arrive at an answer. I'm going to write it down and circle it.
Hey, you know, that's circular logic, man.
I think that they're... are four instruments in the violin family.
That's what I had.
It's the violin, the viola, the cello, and the bass.
Yes, one of my very best friends in the world plays the cello, and he will be listening to this, so hi, Nick. we have a joke in our friend group that's like, the four instruments of the violin family are the violin, the big violin, and the giant violin. So Nick plays the big violin, which is how I know that there are four.
So, all right. So you locked in with four?
There's four.
We are locked in with four.
Oh, boy, Ben, I feel dumb now.
I told you.
Yeah, so Ben wrote down viola, violin, cello, and bass. And I wasn't comfortable with the concept of all of those being considered violins because they're not. Violins. They're woodwind. Not woodwinds.
You did it again.
Oh my God.
Our violin. It's the violin, the big violin, and the giant violin.
So they're stringed instruments. And it's like, okay, well, you can't just say every stringed instrument counts as a violin. So I wasn't comfortable with that. I also didn't know where the fiddle fit because a fiddle is more like a violin than a bass. And so we went ahead and said five.
Okay. On a standard modern violin family, it's also what makes up a violin quartet. There are four instruments: the violin, the viola, the cello, and the double bass.
I hate you right now.
I know. I hate me worse. Trust me, you don't hate me worse than I hate me.
No one hates Jonathan like Jonathan hates Jonathan.
So where does a fiddle fit into this mix? What is a fiddle?
I've always thought a fiddle was another name for a violin.
So did I. Yeah, so that's why I'm same. Checking. By the way, this is how I learned.
And on
most
what you
things.
Call it depends on what music you're playing.
That sucks if that's true.
Fiddle is another name for the bowed string instrument, more often called a violin.
Man, whatever. Okay.
Wikipedia, there. Definition.
I need to center my chi. I need to expel negative energy, and I need to zone in. All right. Next question.
It's gonna be in history.
All right.
The first woman in space was a Russian cosmonaut who launched in 1963. What was her name?
Doggone it. I just heard this the other day, and I told myself to remember it. Now I don't remember it. I can say this. It's a hard freaking name to remember.
Maybe it'll stick this time.
Probably not. It's a hard name to remember. You got any idea, Ben?
No, I'm just writing gibberish down, see if something fits.
Okay.
If we give you the last two letters of the last name, does that count? Because I'm pretty sure I can nail those.
I'm going to go with no.
I have a better chance of naming the ship that she was on than I do of naming her, to be honest.
That would be kind of impressive.
I'll write down a ship.
It won't give you points, I'll be impressed.
I can't get the stupid vodka name out of Stolichnaya. I won't get away from me. And that's all that's coming to my
Sounds
mind
like
right
you
now.
You need a drink.
I mean, I know that's not it. I can't get around that stupid word. It really is frustrating because I literally just heard the name not long ago. And I got a wrong answer that's might be close, but it's not close.
Well, let's go with it.
All right. We're locked in with the wrong answer.
Okay, Aria, I'm in much the same boat as Jonathan, where I've heard it recently and can't remember it. So do you have it?
I think I have a name, Valentina Tereshkova.
Yes.
All right.
I knew her first name was Valentina.
Let's lock it in then. Valentina Tereshkova.
All right. What do you got, guys?
Pain.
Pain.
Frustration.
Tell us your feelings, Jonathan.
I don't have feelings.
Like, I know you don't have feelings. You got one, and that's apathy.
No, that's not true. Anger has overtaken apathy. I wrote down Abiskaya, but frustrated.
The U.S. didn't send a woman into space until 1983.
83. Oh, by the way, Vostok 5 is the name of the ship, Vostok 5?
Vostok 6.
Oh, close.
So I always found that interesting that, you know, Russia beat us by 20 years by sending a woman into space. But her name was Valentina Tereshkova.
Good job, yes. Aria. That was a super nice. Strong answer.
Great man. Job, Aria.
Man, man, man.
Oh, these young bucks are kicking our butt right now.
Yeah, we have fallen into the abyss, my friend.
Last category in the round is in mythology. What was the name of the daughter of Cepheus and Cassiopeia, who was rescued from Cetus by Perseus?
There's a lot of words in that question. Going to need you to spell some of those words.
Okay, so which ones do you want me to spell?
Pretty much all of them.
Okay, so what was the name of the daughter of Cepheus? And Cepheus is C-E-P-H-E-U-S. And Cassiopeia, C-A-S-S-I-O-P-E-I-A. And was rescued from Cetus, C-E-T-U-S. By Perseus, P-E-R-S-E-U-S.
Cetus is the name of the whale constellation. I remember that.
Okay.
Doesn't help.
Cassiopeia is the one that looks like a W, too.
Mm-hmm. I used to have a friend who used the username of Cepheus. So I've recognized all of these names, and not in relation
not
to
in
the
context.
Story. Ben, do you have any information?
I got a wild guess.
I've got a better wild guess. Let me share it with you.
I'm just gonna say.
Are you going to try to outwild each other?
No, not at all. This is not a strong suit for me. Let's go with it.
All right, I'm locking in an instinct.
Okay.
Okay, Aria, what do you have?
Well, I think I've heard this before, but I don't know it. I don't remember it. Do you know it?
I should. I'm pretty good at mythology. I used to be really good at Greek myths after I went to Greece.
Right.
But that was almost 2 years ago now. And I've noticed that slowly over time, I've been losing some of what I knew back then.
Yeah. Some of those names and are hard to
wait remember, until you're 40, yeah. Dude. Wait until you're 40.
Don't scare the guy.
Don't remember anything from anywhere anymore.
I mean, the one name that came to my mind was...
I think Perseus is the key here.
Yeah, wasn't he the one? Was he the one who slayed Medusa, or was that
yes.
Theseus?
Yes.
Okay, because Theseus was the Minotaur, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Perseus
went through the labyrinth.
And Perseus like used the mirror and whatever to
yeah.
get rid of Medusa. So I think
So what was your wild guess?
Well, I don't know. I was just saying that the name that was coming to my mind for some reason was Cassandra, but I don't think it's her because she was the one that could tell the future, but nobody listened to her. And that doesn't sound like the same story. So that was just like what popped into my head. So I would not trust that.
So the name that popped into my head was Arachne.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think she was in Perseus's story somewhere. I'm trying to remember where.
Uh-huh. She became the spider.
No. Right, because she beat, was it Aphrodite in a weaving contest? And so Aphrodite got mad and turned her into a spider.
Oh, that's right. That's where I know that name.
I think she was rescued by Perseus at some point or did something with Perseus. Do you want to go with Arachne or Cassandra or something?
Let's go with Arachne. You're a lot more, you know, confident in that than I am. So let's do Arachne.
Okay.
Okay. I was trying to think of names of young girls in mythology, and one of them popped up that I think was a young girl in mythology. Don't know if she was rescued, don't know where she fits, but it also fits a little bit with the theme of these being constellations. We guessed Andromeda.
Okay. So the story of this, how this goes down, is Cassiopeia was bragging that her daughter was more beautiful than a daughter of Poseidon. And of course, you know, the gods being as they are.
You'd think that people would be smart enough not to compare themselves to the gods at this point.
So Poseidon, being jealous or angry, decided to attack the town that they ruled over. Cepheus and Cassiopeia got together and thought, well, in order to save our town, we're going to have to sacrifice our daughter. They chained her to a cliff. And before she was going to be eaten by Cetus, she was saved by Perseus. And you were absolutely correct to go the star route. It is Andromeda.
Yeah! What a big one!
Woo! I knew that as soon as I heard
nice
it.
Job.
I was like, that's it.
Wow. It was truly a case of just running through girls' names in mythology and hoping one of them would ring a bell. You know what I mean? It wasn't because I could remember the story. But that was Harry Hamlin who saved her in Clash of the Titans, right? Mm-hmm. That was in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one.
So, but it is good to go the constellation route for that question.
Okay, after the fourth round, there is some separation here. Arya and Wesley have 85. Jonathan and Ben have 75. It's going to come down to the last two rounds here.
Come on, NBA questions. Come on.
All right, so your first question in round five is going to be in television. What is the name of the Emmy and Golden Globe winning show featuring Bernadette Peters and Malcolm McDowell that follows the adventures and lives of the conductor and various musicians from the New York Symphony, and is based on a book by the same name?
Jesus, good Lord have mercy. Is he the Malcolm from the Middle?
Malcolm McDowell?
No laughs? Not a single laugh?
No, because that wasn't funny.
Good Lord, people. You're going to need to read that whole thing again. That was extensive.
Sure. What is the name of the Emmy and Golden Globe winning show featuring Bernadette Peters and Malcolm McDowell that follows the adventures and lives of the conductor and various musicians from the New York Symphony, and is based on a book by the same name?
Dude, do you have any clue? I know who Malcolm McDowell is. I don't know who Bernadette Peters is.
Bernadette Peters' name rings
a
bell.
I don't know who Bernadette Peters is.
I don't care much for movies and TV, so that's why I don't know who Bernadette Peters is. If you put her in a lineup in front of me, I wouldn't be able to tell you who she was.
That makes me sad.
If it makes you feel better, if you put me in a lineup in front of her, she wouldn't know who I was either. So I think we're even.
You look at Bernadette Peters, you'd have no idea how old she is.
Well, there you go. Ageist.
Timeless.
Well, we've had some good deliberation. I think we're close. I don't know if we're going to get it perfectly, but I think we're close. So I've locked in an answer.
Okay. Yes, and talk it out.
Okay. So this is television.
Yeah.
Wesley, are you like me? Don't watch much TV?
I don't watch much TV.
Do you know?
Pop culture is my biggest weakness in terms of trivia.
I pretty much only watch like game shows or reality shows, if that. Bernadette Peters, though, was a big-time Broadway star.
Yes. Like, that's what I was thinking.
She was like from the 70s, wasn't she? Like kind of a while ago. But this is a TV show, so that doesn't help. But I do know who that is. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. She sings. So it's a musical TV show.
I mean, I kind of just started writing down
names. I don't know who Malcolm McDowell is.
Things that sounded like they could be the names of TV shows that were about music. But I put down stuff like Maestro and Baby Grand because I thought that could be the name of a TV show about orchestra, but I don't think
that's maybe, sure.
Brilliant.
I just wrote it down.
I honestly don't have a guess, so whatever you want to say.
Okay, let's just say Maestro because
okay.
Why not?
So you guys knew who Bernadette Peters was. We didn't. Malcolm McDowell, I think, is the main bad guy, Alex DeLarge from A Clockwork Orange. So if you put him in a lineup in front of me, even as an older man, I know who he is. But that didn't help me with this.
Okay.
So after a lot of back and forth, We went with the Wiggles.
By the way, you do know who Bernadette Peters is.
I don't.
Do you ever see The Jerk?
No.
You never saw the Steve Martin movie, The Jerk?
No, I knew when you said The Jerk, I knew which jerk you meant. I haven't seen it.
Wow.
I've seen it.
Marie. She's Marie.
Okay.
I've played The Jerk before, but that's just real life.
Wonderful
movie. I don't
know if
played is the right word there. The answer, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm very selective about what I watch. This is a wonderful show, in my opinion. I think it's a good show. It's Mozart in the Jungle.
I've heard of that. It's current.
Mm-hmm.
It's a current show.
It's a current show. Just started its third season last month.
Heard of that.
What show? What?
It's an Amazon Prime original.
I've heard of it.
Okay, that explains why we don't have Amazon Prime.
Gotcha. Mozart in the Jungle.
I've heard of the title, yes, but I couldn't have told you anything about it.
I'm with you guys. I'm with you. The Wiggles was close, though. They had people in it. And the Wiggles, I'm sure they wore colors on the show. And the Wiggles wore colors, so just saying.
Yeah, except the Wiggles are singers.
I love to see the Wiggles.
These are musicians who play instruments.
Oh, semantics. That's the difference.
Oddly enough, Wallace Shawn in that show.
There you go. All right.
Like, please show me that because it would get me to actually watch TV.
All right, your next category is this or that.
Okay. Going with this.
What is the name of the small green basket that holds fruit such as strawberries? It is also the name of the square diagram used in biology to predict the probability of certain genotypes.
Dude, I loved that stupid square when I was in high school. Ninth grade biology, I was really good at that. Even when you broke it out into much larger versions, mm-hmm. I was good at that thing. I got no friggin' idea what it's called anymore. Good God.
I basically hated biology, except I loved genetics. That was like the one thing that I liked about biology.
Both Ben and I have this little window pane drawn on our page. Mm-hmm. Not helping. It's not right.
I know.
All right. We're going to lock in a wrong answer.
Okay.
Frustratedly.
All right. So they're locked in.
So Aria, the square mm-hmm. in genetics is called the Punnett square, right?
Yep. I had that written down as well.
I assumed that it could be like the Punnett basket or something.
Yeah.
So do you want to say Punnett?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll lock in with Punnett.
Okay.
If that's the right answer, then that's not ringing the bell that I felt like it should. I didn't. That's not what I remember it.
Neither.
So if that's right, we said lattice. We know that's wrong. We both thought that when we heard it, that it would stand out. So what is it?
So the square diagram in biology is a Punnett square, and the basket is called a Punnett.
Really?
Yeah.
Punnett, P-U-N-N-E-T-T.
Is there any other name for it?
The little basket?
For the square.
No, it was named after the guy who developed the diagram, Reginald Punnett.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I guess I never knew that. Okay. Back down another 10 there, Ben.
There you go.
We're getting beaten.
Is that the end of the round?
No.
Got one more. Yep. It's in science.
Sorry, the last one was science.
Science.
You did two science questions in a row. What is a hiding one of them in a? I keep kicking Ben's microphone.
Why do you hate Ben so much?
Hiding for many reasons. hiding them as a this or that question that was clearly science.
Like no one else has ever done that.
Yeah, we've never seen that. Famous names. What Detroit Piston?
Really, this is also a history question, so...
All right.
There's that, too.
There is that.
Who was the German scientist that founded the basis of quantum mechanics with his work on black body radiation in 1900?
Read the whole thing again, please.
Sure. Who was the German scientist that founded the basis of quantum mechanics with his work on black body radiation in 1900?
All right. We are locked in. And the answer is not the Wiggles this time.
All right.
Aria, what do you have?
I'm thinking of a person, and I think it's the right person, but I just cannot think of the name. It's not coming to me. And instead, the name of a whole bunch of other Germans are that are not right. But
okay. So this is a question that I know I've answered before, and I'm pretty sure I've answered correctly before.
All right.
And the name's not coming to me. The one I've written down is Planck.
Mm-hmm.
Planck's constant.
Uh-huh.
But I thought he was Austrian.
Yeah. I'm thinking this guy, I feel like you hear his name associated a lot with like the atomic bomb projects.
But I mean, it's not Oppenheimer.
No, not him. Not him. There's like somebody else, I think.
Do you have anything at all you want to guess?
The other name that came to my mind is like really stupid, which is, like I said, I kept thinking of like random Germans. Like,
Wait. Is it Seaborg?
Seaborg? Could be. I don't remember what Seaborg did, but that is a person. It's definitely a person.
That's a person who has an element.
Yeah, it was the only element named after a person while they were still alive.
Okay, so that would have come later because they wouldn't have discovered it while he was still alive if he was already experimenting in 1900. So, do you want to guess something?
Yeah, is there like a really common German last name that was like the equivalent of Johnson? You guess?
I mean, the one that keeps sticking out to me saying guess me is Plunk.
Okay,
but
we can say that. Let's
just because say that. I know he has a constant in chemistry.
Yeah, he does. I think it has to do with something else.
It does.
We can say it. We can definitely say it.
Okay. So we'll say Planck.
Okay. We had a lot less names to go on because we're not good at science at all. The primary name that we came up with was Einstein. We know that he worked with relativity. We know that he was theorizing about wormholes. We know that he was doing a lot. But we felt like he was an older gentleman in the 40s and 50s, which would mean that he would be too young. And I know that he was youngish when he started doing his work, but I felt like he'd be too young in 1900, so I didn't say Einstein. The other name that came to mind, which may not even be German, may not have anything to do with this field. He might be a freaking contemporary of Copernicus for all I know, but the other name that came to mind that we locked in was Niels Bohr.
Niels Bohr is what you guys went with?
Yes.
Okay. So Einstein was relativity, which was the opposite end of quantum mechanics.
Okay.
So because general relativity deals with the very, very big. Quantum mechanics deals with the very, 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 very small.
Oh.
And the person who founded it with his work on black body radiation was Max Planck.
Wow.
Wow, Wes. Nice job.
He looks so happy.
No, he looks shocked is how he looks.
So I guess there was a reason it was jumping out saying, guess me.
Wow. Good job, dude.
Bohr has an element named after him, too.
I don't even know. Is he German? Is Bohr German?
Niels Bohr? Let's find out.
Bohr, I hope he's German.
I feel like he is.
I know he did a lot of stuff with the structure of the atom.
He's probably Scandinavian. He feels Scandinavian.
Danish.
Yep. Okay, so after the fifth round, it is 105-75, and Ben got so fed up with me getting wrong answers that he left. And I'm not kidding. He walked. He just left. He said, Jonathan.
That makes Ben sound unprofessional. That's not cool.
He said, Jonathan, I'm done with you and your BS, not taking my answers. I'm out. So seriously, Ben had to leave. A little background information. This recording has lasted a lot longer than anticipated for multiple different reasons. And so Ben had a commitment that he had to attend to. So I'm going to be finishing out solo.
Well, let's see what happens in round six.
I need to get all three of these right, and then I can say that he was holding me back. See, that's how my mind works.
Well, we'll see what happens. So your first category in the round is brought to us by a listener named Kyle. Unfortunately, Kyle did not provide me with his last name.
It might be McNevin.
It might be McNevin.
Yep.
So Kyle, maybe McNevin. I appreciate you helping us out. and this is going to be movie quotes.
All right.
In the film, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, David, played by Paul Rudd, says, I would rather listen to Fran Drescher for 8 hours than have to listen to blank. Nothing against him, but if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground. To what musician was he referring?
Do you know how Yamo be there is spelled?
Y-A-H-M-O-B and there.
Literally, the names that are coming to my mind are, there's no way that they're right. Never seen the 40-year-old version. I saw the first 10 minutes of it, and it was boring, and I turned it off. All right, I've locked in my answer.
You know it?
I have nothing.
Me neither.
Oh, good.
It's a solo artist.
Yeah, I mean, the things that came to my... I was just trying to think of artists that had songs that sounded... that titles was similar to that, but the only things I managed to come up with was I'll Be There by the Jackson 5 and I'm a Bee by the Black Eyed Peas. So none of those are solo artists.
I mean, but it could be like Will I Am or something.
Yeah. Do you know when this movie came out? 40-year-old version. I've never seen it. So
I'm not a big comedy person. I want to say like 2008. I know it stars Steve Carell. That's all about all I know about it.
So I don't know what the Yamo thing is.
Neither.
That kind of eliminates my joke answer too, which is Pitbull, because
let's do it.
Okay, let's want to say that anyway.
Let's do Pitbull.
Okay, Pitbull.
We've all done that joke answer.
Pitbull's not a bad answer, frankly. I went with Bob Marley. I figured Yamo be there, like a Jamaican. Bobby McFerrin was the other name that came to mind.
So
Bob Marley makes a lot more sense.
A lot of the movie takes place in an electronics store.
Right.
And so they have like the big theater demonstration area, and they constantly have this video on loop for the entire time. And it's Michael McDonald playing music on screen. The answer is Michael McDonald.
What is Yamo? What is...
It's the name of a song that he does.
Really? Well, okay.
When I heard that, I kept thinking of like Spanish, like me Yamo.
Yeah, I thought of Jamaican. Like, my name
is, and but that doesn't make any sense.
But in the quote, he actually says the guy's name. So
true.
Well, now I'm disappointed. I can't say that Ben was holding me back. Darn you, Ben.
You still have a whole other part of the round.
Mm.
Your next category is First Ladies. The office of the First Lady has been in place since Martha Washington and is usually held by the spouse of the sitting president. Who was the first president to have a First Lady that was not his spouse?
I know this is in the back of my head somewhere. I feel like I'm probably wrong, but this is the most logical guess I can make.
Okay.
So I'm locked in.
All right.
Okay. Aria, I think it's James Buchanan.
That's what I wrote down too, because he was a bachelor. So
yes, he was a bachelor, and a lot of people actually believe that he was gay, which is why he never married. And so I think it's James Buchanan. So do you want to lock that in?
Yeah.
Lock in James Buchanan.
I also said James Buchanan because he was the bachelor president. I actually feel like it's somebody earlier who used their cousin or somebody like that, though. A part of me wonders if it might be Andrew Jackson. I don't think his wife went to Washington with him, or she died early because of the campaign or something. I feel like it's somebody earlier, but the most logical answer I could give you is Buchanan.
Okay. So this person's wife had passed away 19 years before he became president, and his daughter served as his first lady.
Is it Tyler?
His daughter was Martha Jefferson. It was Thomas Jefferson.
Darn it. Darn it. Darn it. Darn it. Well, we were all on the same page on that one. We went for the...
Yeah, we were.
We went for the obvious.
The next president to have a first lady that was not his wife was Van Buren, his daughter-in-law, for the same reason that... Wow. Jefferson, because his wife had passed away years before.
Yeah.
So usually it's because you're widowed or you're a bachelor. You know,
right.
I think it was his sister or his cousin that was served as his first lady. I look forward to the time where we have a first gentleman in office instead.
There you go. Someday. It is going to happen.
I considered that, but, you know, I was just sort of like, I have this rule in trivia, go for the obvious, like don't overthink it. And I didn't want to overthink it. So I, like, if I don't know for sure, I just go for the obvious answer. So. That's what I did.
We all did it.
All right. And we're going to round out the last part of the game with sports.
Sports. Watch this be the Pistons question that Ben's been waiting for, and he's not here to answer it.
If that was the case, I would have swapped to a different question.
No. That would have been the most amazing feeling.
Oh, that would have been mean. But it's not about the Pistons.
Darn.
Who or what is depicted on the reverse side of an Olympic medal?
Goodness gravy.
Reverse side, obverse side.
Who or what?
Mm-hmm. Is depicted.
You couldn't even stick with a who or a what. You had to give us a who and a what. Goodness gracious. I have no idea. Ah! Oh, there's an idea. Why don't I go that direction instead? Okay. I'm locked in.
Okay. So, Aria and I are both Olympics nuts.
Which I didn't know prior to this.
But this is not something I know right offhand.
Same here. I wrote down three things.
I wrote down four.
So, I wrote down Pierre de Coubertin.
He was first on my list.
Founder of the modern Olympics. Second thing I wrote down was an olive branch. And the third thing was a laurel wreath, because those were things that they gave to the winners of the ancient Olympics and ancient Greece. So they're associated with like winning at the Olympics. So that was the other things that I put.
Yeah. The two I had, I didn't have an olive branch, but that's a good one. I had Pierre de Coubertin, a laurel wreath, the Olympic torch. The original Olympics were in honor of Zeus. So I was like, maybe it's some depiction of Zeus. Although I don't know how they would do that.
I don't think it's Zeus. Like,
I didn't either. That was kind of the last one.
I don't think it's that. So I feel like I remember something about Pierre de Coubertin being on like a medal, but I don't know if that was
I think so too. Well, they give out the Baron de Coubertin medal.
Yeah, they do. That's the sportsmanship medal.
Outstanding spirit.
Yeah. Wait, so is this on the back of all medals or just gold medals?
All Olympic medals.
Because I think if it was a laurel wreath, it would just be the gold medals, because they just gave it to the winner, right?
I'm trying to remember back to Greece when I wrote my paper on the ancient Olympic Games.
I feel like that's a thing that's just associated with the one winner and not the three winners.
Yeah. They also gave them an amphora filled with olive oil.
It's a picture of olive oil from Popeye.
Olive oil.
Oh, Popeye.
I mean, it could be the torch.
It could. I'm still leaning towards it being Pierre de Coubertin, but
I'm good with that.
Okay, you want to say that?
Sure. We're going to lock in Pierre de Coubertin.
Okay. I was about to write down the Parthenon, but I changed my mind, and I wrote Zeus.
All right.
So you're on the right track. It is a god, goddess, so that's why the what could be put in there.
That's exactly why I ended up going with a god.
It is the goddess of victory, Nike.
Nike.
Oh, I knew that. I totally knew that.
I didn't.
The winged goddess of victory.
Well, guys, we all got stumped together in the sixth round. The scores are the same as they were in the fifth round. Going into the final, it is 105 for Wesley and Aria to 75 for Ben and Jonathan. And it is very clear that Ben was definitely not holding me back.
Okay. All right, so this is a listener-submitted gauntlet question.
Okay.
It comes to us from Seth Lightfoot, so thank you, Seth.
Ooh, I like your last name, Seth. Are you related to Gordon? Well, let us know.
And your category is going to be about the Supreme Court.
All right, my wager's locked in.
All right, we're locked in.
Carmella, let's run through the gauntlet.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the questions one at a time, and you'll write your answers down. And then we'll go through the questions again. You'll actually give the answers. So your first question is, in 1954, Brown versus Board of Education overruled what previous Supreme Court decision?
All right, I'm locked in.
That was the separate but equal case, 1896.
Yes.
So you're with me there?
I believe you're right.
All right. Yes. We're locked in.
Okay. Your next question, former Chief Justice Salmon P. Chase was one of the two justices to appear on U.S. currency. What was the value of that now obsolete bill?
Aria, I know this one.
Okay.
I'm locked in.
We're locked in.
All right. And your last question. Normalea McCorvey was a key player in a 1973 U.S. landmark lawsuit under what pseudonym?
Could you read it again, please?
Sure. Normalea McCorvey was a key player in a 1973 U.S. landmark lawsuit under what pseudonym?
Can I clarify something really quick?
Sure.
You want the name that she used or the name of the court case?
The name that she used.
Okay.
Is last name acceptable?
Yes, last name is acceptable.
I know the first name, but okay. It doesn't matter. Last is easier.
All right, I am locked in.
All right. For your first question, in 1954, Brown versus Board of Education overruled the previous, what previous Supreme Court decision?
I said the Dred Scott decision.
Okay. And what did you guys say?
Plessy v. Ferguson.
Okay. Former Chief Justice Salmon P. Chase was one of the two justices to appear on U.S. currency. Name the value of that now obsolete bill.
I said the $1 million bill.
Okay. And what did you guys say?
We said the $10,000 bill.
Okay. And your last question, Normalea McCorvey was a key player in a 1973 landmark lawsuit under what pseudonym?
I literally had no answer. I could not come up with a single answer.
You have no answer for that one?
Nothing.
Okay. All right.
So we said Roe, or specifically Jane Roe. This is the Roe versus Wade case. And if you want to sue somebody in court, you actually have the right to remain anonymous if you don't want people to know who you are. And in that case, you use one of two pseudonyms. If you're a man, you use John Doe. And if you're a woman, you use Jane Roe. So that's what she did, because it involved abortion and it was a touchy subject. And she felt like she might be in danger if she used her real name. So she used the pseudonym Jane Roe instead.
I had never heard anything like that in my life, and I am really impressed that you knew that.
I know John Doe and Jane Doe are what you use to identify people.
Dead bodies.
Yeah, that you can't identify by their names. So the answer to the first question, Brown versus Board of Education overruled Plessy versus Ferguson. Salmon P. Chase was on the $10,000 bill.
Look at this.
And Normalea McCorvey was part of the Roe versus Wade case, and she was known as Jane Roe.
Wow. Nice job. It was obvious that I didn't know anything about those questions. So it did not matter what I wagered. I wagered 36 and missed it. So I finished with, I'm bad at math. What are you looking at here? 39? 30. I finished with 39.
Okay. And what did you guys wager?
What did you guys wager?
We wagered
29, which gives you a final total of 134. You almost got 100 more than me at the end there. 134 to 36. Congratulations to Wesley Wells and Aria Gerson. You are the champions today.
Yay.
Good job, guys. That was, especially with the final there, that was really strong.
Yeah, that was really great. Good job. I know a lot about the Supreme Court. Seth would be proud.
I actually think this is like the first time I've ever actually gotten a gauntlet. I never get them.
That was a really good final, too. That was right in line with what I want to do with it.
So yeah, and good. You know, I haven't done a whole lot of gauntlet questions, and Seth's like, here's this one, and you guys don't do a whole lot of legal stuff. So I thought it was great.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that, Seth. So good job, guys. And with that win, you are also our Warheads of the Week.
Yes.
So congratulations and thank you. Really good job. Well done. Man, now, do you want to stick with us while we do some reviews?
Sure.
All right. So it's already been 3.5 hours. Why not? How in the heck did this take that long? I have no idea.
We had technical difficulties.
It was more than that, though. This is a long recording. All right. So I want to do some international ones.
Cool.
Yes. I can tell you we have one from Ireland.
Woo!
Ireland, we had one from McEnhoe, and McEnhoe says, really good questions, but most of the sport is very U.S.-centered. Keep up the good work, Laura in Ireland.
That's a very fair assessment.
Thank you, Laura. That was a 5-star review.
Great.
Good job. That was a fair assessment back in December of 2015. I don't know if it's a fair assessment anymore.
We're getting better.
We need somebody.
We need some more work, but we're getting better.
I want somebody. I want a listener to go and listen to all the episodes of the last year and document what four major sports questions versus non-four major sports questions and do a count.
Make sure you do the ones that were disguised as other questions.
All right, we have a review from England, a new one. I don't think I've read this one before. It came in January 4th, 2017, so it's recent. It's 5-star. It's from Greyheart99, and they say, "My wife and I stumbled upon this podcast by chance while on a long car trip. It made the time pass so much quicker. The combination of interesting quiz questions, caster banter, and trivial stories make for a great show. Have now subscribed and am listening to the back catalog. Stan from Kenilworth, UK.
Thank you.
# too hard to pick a team."
I'm with you.
Wow. We have a review from Edie Berg in Israel.
Oh, that's cool.
Edie is fun. I met her in Chicago last year. And hers was very short. She gave us 5 stars and said, "I keep shouting the right answers at you, but you don't listen." Typical.
Same.
Thanks, Edie. Good job.
Thank you, Edie.
And we have 3 from Australia. These were one in January of last year, one in July of last year, and one very recent one, January of this year. All right, we have one from our colonel, Jordan Campbell. He was the first one. "Perfect mix of entertainment, education, and comedy. I listen to this podcast on my commutes to work, and it's a great way to learn new, interesting facts. Jonathan and Chris have a great chemistry that makes the podcast fun to listen to. Being in Australia, it can get a bit boring, so this is a great way to spend your time, with a few laughs, learning new things. Keep up the great work."
They gotta hide from those big spiders.
I was just thinking, I would always be afraid for myself in Australia. There's no way I'd be bored. We have
up at Mount Kosciuszko.
Exactly. Go climb Mount Kosciuszko. We have a 5-star review from Atkins on DP, or it might be Atkinson DP. "Priority listen. Every Monday I get in my car, download Trivial Warfare, pause all other podcasts until I've finished warming it up and failing dismally at trivia. You and me both, Atkinson, you and me both. Then and only then will I return to my regularly scheduled programming. Being an Australian, I rarely get even close to answering the U.S. sports questions, i.e. who gets into the Hall of Fame, etc. But all in all, it's a great listen. I learn heaps and have a chuckle when I get an answer that Chris doesn't. Seriously, that man is a walking brain." Chris is like, "Wait, I haven't got anything right in 5 shows. What are you talking about?" Thank you, Atkinson DP. And last but not least, the most recent one, Each of Us Angels. "Cannot say enough good things. 5 stars. I have just discovered it.
You've discovered it.
I have just discovered Trivial Warfare, and I cannot rate it highly enough. I have always been a fan of pub quizzes, but in Calgary, I live in Canada now, even though this is the Australian site. Trying to find a decent pub quiz is hard. Thankfully, I found this podcast that is both entertaining and educational. The banter between the hosts and contestants makes it engaging and makes my 90-minute trip to work sometimes fly by in no times. I now find myself impatient for each week's episode. Thank you so much to Jonathan and the team."
Thank you.
Thank you to all of you, especially our international listeners who have been writing reviews and haven't had them read yet. I've done my best to get to everybody. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And we're getting closer. We're on the thunder to 200.
Do we have to say that when Chris and Ben aren't
Yeah, you guys, that is what we're on now.
We're at 164 currently.
164. Yeah. So if you have not reviewed the show and you enjoy it, please go out there and take a stab at it. Let us know what you think. And more importantly, let everybody else know what you think. We also have some new promotions to announce in the Trivial Warfare Army. 2, to be exact. We have a new captain, Andrew Thomas. Andrew, I appreciate you. Looking forward to having you on and getting to know you. Thank you so much for your support. And Mr. Billy Webb has joined us. Now, Mr. Billy Webb is interesting. He initially signed up as a captain, and literally a day or two later, he bumped it up and went from a captain to a major. So congratulations on both joining and your new promotion to major, Billy Webb. If any of the rest of you are interested in helping to support the show and keep us going along, you can do so at patreon.com/TWA. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up today's episode. Wes and Aria, is there anything that you support that you want to share with people or want people to know about before we get out of here?
Oh, yes, I do, actually. Heifer International, a charity based out of Central Arkansas, does great work where they send animals to families that are very low income all around the world. And they get their name from their main animal they send is a heifer because she hasn't given birth. And so they get money, milk, eventually meat. And it's a way for the family to provide for themselves. So it's just a great little known charity in Central Arkansas.
Awesome. So it's heifer as in H-E-F-F-E-R?
It's H-E-I-F-E-R.
Is that how you spell heifer?
Yeah.
Good Lord, I've never known how to spell heifer in my entire life.
H-E-I-F-E-R. You're going to argue with the spelling bee person?
No, I'm not arguing at all. Oh,
my family has actually donated to them for some of our relatives that we're not as close to. Like, that's what we get them for Christmas is we get them something from heifer to get sent to, another country or whatever.
Awesome.
We buy it in
their
name. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, and so Heifer International. And,
yep.
Very cool. All right, so it is time to get out of here. Thank you to Wesley Wells and Aria Gerson. I can't say thank you enough. You guys did a great job.
Yes.
I think you showed well. I think you should be proud
thank
of
you.
Yourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you to Carmella and for everybody who helped write the questions this week.
Yes, thank you very much.
Appreciate all you guys. And let's go ahead and wrap it up. So that is Carmella. That is Wesley. That is Aria. And I'm Jonathan. And this has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode was edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. If you need help with your podcast, find it at ProPodcastingServices.com.
And the other one, I can't
on,
say
really?
Their name.
Really?
The one for Australia. Wait,
you got to say that whole thing again, because dude over here decided to tear a piece of
ben,
paper right
don't
while
be a
you're talking. He's like,
why do you hate me, Benjamin?
So you didn't even think about it. She's talking. He's like,
please. Continue.
Yeah, that's easy.
They, all right,
so guess what?
I was saying.
Please continue.